the Centre for Public Christianity. You're listening to Life and Faith. I'm Simon Smart.
And I'm Justine Toe.
Today we're going to be talking about Mongolia. Now, this is a country you might not know much about. Perhaps you remember that it's sandwiched between China and Russia. You might think of Genghis Khan, perhaps. But beyond that, not know much else.
Well, today in the studio, we have a radio broadcaster from Mongolia. His name is Batjagul Tuvshintsingil. We'll just call him Bart. He grew up in communist Mongolia and lived through the country's transition into a democracy. He's the son of a communist father and an atheist mother, and growing up, didn't really have any concept of God.
Being under communist Russia for 70 years, Mongolia is known to be a buffer zone between China and Russia. So we really grew up without really knowing a concept of God. The only thing that I knew was actually that I saw this at this Russian Orthodox monks and what they represented. I kind of thought that they represented God. So that was the only concept that came to our minds.
Speaking more broadly within the society, is there a sense of religious tension? Is there a hostility of the state toward religion in the time that you grew up?
Well, traditionally, Mongolia is known to be a Buddhist country, but there's more of a shamanistic, animistic, spiritistic mix of Buddhism traditionally. But with the communism came in, of course, you know, it kind of wiped out all the faith, you know, and the history is really dark in that sense, and, getting rid of all the religious faith that people had. You know, nothing was allowed but communism.
And your father, when we hear him described as a communist, was he a kind of a true believer? Was he teaching you the communist?
Well, being a Communist Party member in Mongolia, it meant actually to be a status symbol. Not everybody can actually become a member. Only those who are actually kind of, high virtue people. And, it's kind of like almost like a, you know, status. So, yeah, so he was a very, very active. He was a very devout, you know, member of the Communist Party.
Could we say a devout believer?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, thinking about your growing up, your parents wanted you to become a doctor.
Correct.
And that seemed to be very clear in their minds. And so you worked hard, you got into you take the admission exam, but I think things didn't go so well there. Tell us a bit about that experience and where it led.
Well, I flunked the exam, to be brief, actually. You know, very interestingly that in an Asian context, of course, your parents pretty much actually set up your fate for you. So you kind of follow them and you honor them, and you know, and it was kind of a failure for my part. So I met an English teacher for the first time because the country was just opening up, shifting from communism into being a democratic country. That's when I actually first met actually a Westerner, you know. So that was a very, very interesting point in my life.
Mm. Tell us more about that, because that proved to be quite a life-changing conversation that you had with a particular woman.
Well, with flanking my exam for the medical institute, of course, I had nothing to do. So I thought, well, I'd maybe pick up the English language. That was actually late 1990. So I met this lady. She was from the UK, and she ended up having a sort of a conversation in English, you know, for us young people who had nothing else to do. And that's when I actually, first of all, I mean, that was the first ever original English speaker I've met. And she actually taught us how to converse, basic phrases. And at the same time, she showed us the Bible, which was very interesting to me because she actually gave me the Russian Bible to read. When I actually first turned to the first pages of the Russian Bible, I started reading about God creating the universe. And growing up as an atheist, I thought, well, this is the best fiction story I've ever heard. So,
well, can you give us a sense of that? If you've grown up in this communist environment that scrubbed the world of all religion, mm-hmm. and then this foreigner comes and she hands you a Russian Bible, is it almost subversive literature that you're reading?
Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, in my parents' time, it would be very subversive literature. I mean, it would be forbidden because the English language was even actually forbidden to a point of language of the imperialists. So it was actually therefore forbidden. So when the country opened up in 1990, pretty much, you know, all of our young people in our 20s, we were faced with so many choices, new choices. I mean, the whole new breath of air basically had started, you know, blowing into the country. And so Christianity was one of it. So we were all intrigued about this concept of God, who God was, and our parents couldn't answer this question to us. So that's why we were very, very attracted to talk to these first missionaries, you know, our English teachers.
But I want to ask you about that. So can you take yourself back to that time and think, what were your first impressions of Christianity, the Bible, Jesus himself?
You know, I mean, my first impression of meeting with Christians, they seem to be very, very kind people and very full of joy. And that really was attracting to me. They were very genuine, gave me the Bible to read, and I started reading about, you know, how Jesus had to die for the sins, which I've actually never thought about. But what Jesus had done for me, you know, was really attractive, because in communism, you're basically living under fear. But whatever I read from the Bible, it kind of gave me this sense of freedom from fear. So I don't have to be fearful anymore. You know, you don't have to, I mean, like, you have to whisper things, yeah, you know, even you can't tell things to your friends because you're afraid that your government's going to get after you, right? But those things were gone. So that was my first impression, that it was a huge freedom. It was a huge kind of a sign of relief for me.
You're listening to Life and Faith from the Center for Public Christianity. Bart Tuvshentsengel is a Christian radio broadcaster from the formerly communist nation of Mongolia. He runs his own radio station now, but he started out producing a 15-minute religious program on state-run radio. It was at the time when Mongolia was just starting to open up to the rest of the world.
Now, you first started in radio in the mid to late 90s, mm-hmm. and you produced a religious program on state-run radio. Can you give us a sense of, you know, how this happened, and was the climate, you know, favourable to that? If you're living in a formerly communist country, but is it still, you know, quite a tricky thing to do to run a religious program?
Well, it's interesting because I think that the communist ideology really exhausted itself. Even the older generation had actually really lost their faith in communism. The ideology hasn't worked out. So they were really open for many different other ideas, especially Christianity being one of them. So the state radio was really open to actually take on our programming. We talked about life. We talked about values of a human being from the point of a creation point of view, because all we were taught was just evolution, right? So when people, you know, when a human being has a purpose, a destiny that is set out for him, you know, not human beings, not just merely somebody who's evolved out of some kind of an animal, but, you know, he has a destiny, he has a purpose to go, he has a fate to go, and that's basically the value that we wanted to share with our audience, which was very much, you know, welcomed by the state radio. So that's how we started, you know, broadcasting our weekly program called Eternal Water on our state radio. Yeah.
So from, you originally had this 15-minute slot, the Eternal mm-hmm. Water program, mm-hmm. and then now it's this 24-hour radio, you know, you're always on air, basically. How did that even happen? How do you go from...
For life and faith, oh. Justin.
Yeah, we want to know.
Well, I really believe in the calling. You know, I really believe that, you know, God convicts people of, you know, of a purpose. That's my belief. That's part of my belief. And I really believe that I was called to actually usher this message of hope using a medium of radio. Very interesting that you've asked that, because, you know, when I was a child, actually, I was chosen to be a child radio anchor. So I was actually working for the Communist Party. I was actually doing their propaganda, as early as I was a child, 9 years old, and I did that for almost 9 years. So it's like, you know, there's nothing accident. I mean, I really believe that. God really called me into the radio ministry back, you know, even when I became a Christian. And I wanted to serve my people. I wanted to serve the families. I wanted to make sure that they find strong values in their lives, because, you know, in the transition process from communism to democracy, we were in a huge identity crisis as a nation. You know, we didn't really know who we were, you know, what our values were, you know, and families were falling apart. People were actually becoming alcoholic. A lot of, you know, kids are going orphans. They're going into the streets. I mean, lots of social problems. And so I just wanted to become, you know, be one of the, you know, solutions to the problems. In other words, I want to, you know, bring a remedy to the people. So in other words, that's why we call the radio station a family radio. And we deal with broken families. We deal with upcoming, you know, families and marriage things. And we help the women to actually find dignity in their lives, because alcoholism is very rampant in my country, unfortunately. Almost 50% of the Mongolian men are actually, you know, affected by some somewhat alcoholic problem. And so family breakdowns, you know, kids going orphans, and those are the things that we are really, you know, feeling, you know.
And you mean women bearing the brunt of
That's correct,
violence,
yeah. It's mostly, you know, single parents, you know, mothers are having to actually shoulder all the problems, all the burdens of life, while the men are, you know, kind of in the ditches, basically, with alcoholism. So basically, you know, by being a Christian, you know, we would like to really help the community thrive.
But a critic might say to you that you went from being the Communist Party propaganda to the church's propaganda. How would you respond to that?
Well, I really would respond to it by saying that I have really found my own conviction. My faith really taught me the values of a human life. You know, and I want to see it from God's perspective, basically. And if God was there, what would he have done to these hurting people? And I think he would do exactly the same things that some of us are trying to do. I'm not saying that I'm God, but I'm just trying to actually see things from God's perspective. Value is very, very important in our society. So we're just trying to be a piece to the puzzle, to the fix of this problem in the society. I mean, we believe in a great future for Mongolia. We have a lot of natural resources. Mongolian people are very, very kind. They're very, you know, they're very educated, hardworking, very resilient people. But they need values, new set of values. And I think a lot of our societies are actually missing out on that part. So we want to be a piece of that puzzle.
Could you just briefly walk us through, you know, what a radio program might do in order to help encourage the development of these kinds of values?
Actually, we do a little bit of a complex radio campaign. For example, if you want to reach out to single parents, we would actually start doing awareness, promos, spots, talking about how these women are actually living. And then we would actually go out and interview these women. And then we would actually combine these two into a talk back kind of a program with the counselor, psychologist involved part of it. And then basically between the three of them, the host and the target audience, and then the Christian counselor or the psychologists, they would actually appeal to the public, you know, for the awareness of the problem. So in other words, you know, you're raising awareness at the same time you're educating the public to really open their eyes and ears toward a particular social problem. A couple of years back during Christmas, two businesses have actually hired, you know, these single mothers because they have actually learned. I mean, they've heard the programs. They've heard these ladies talk on the radio. So they actually hired them. They actually gave them full time jobs in order to support. So in other words, it's all about rallying the whole society, aligning them for this value that you want to really portray. So I mean, you know, single mothers have been helped. You know, and in essence, of course, their whole family is being encouraged and empowered. And that's basically the result that we as a radio station want to see.
Tell us a little bit more about some of your listeners. What have you discovered about the people you're connecting with?
Our target audience is 28 to 42-year-old women because, as I've mentioned, that a lot of the life is being shouldered by these women. Mongolia is almost on the verge of becoming a matriarchal society because of men are actually losing the responsibility of life, being fathers and being husbands. So we actually started talking to these women, you know, from various types of angles, you know, how to cook and we can actually do a radio program on the radio. I mean, you saw a lot of television programs on cooking shows and things like that, but we actually tried that on the radio. It works. and a lot of women actually had come into a group learning system, you know, structure, and then they actually encouraged each other and things like that. But very interestingly, we have been talking to women for almost 7 years, and then we have noticed that in our call-in programs, actually, we started receiving calls from men. And basically, they were asking, what about us? What about us? And that was the indicator that we were actually reaching out to the women, and then the women were actually being the influence to their kids and also to their husbands. And then men were actually kind of passively listening in the backgrounds. And then we started actually talking to men. So now we are actually doing a special program for men, especially for fathers. What is it to be a father? So... and it seems to be working. So in other words, it's a progress. It's a development progress of helping people to find their own values, their own purposes, their own fate and destiny. And I think to me, that is the greatest gift you can give to your audience as a radio broadcaster.
You mentioned some of the single moms who've been helped and even been given jobs. Any other good stories that you can remember?
As I mentioned that most of the men are affected by alcoholism, but this story really actually kind of interesting because it's the wife who has been affected by alcoholism. She was a cook in an army base. And she was actually working, you know, with men. And so that's why I think probably the alcohol problem came in. And her husband basically was very, very desperate. He tried everything. He tried shamanism. He tried all the, you know, places where he can go. And then he ended up listening to one of our counseling programs one night. And there was a hope in his heart that, you know, maybe that's the last chance. So that's basically how this family was on the verge of divorcing. I mean, he was actually thinking about, you know, leaving his wife because she was uncontrollable. To make the story short, she came to one of our women's meeting. She kept on attending, and eventually she shed off her alcoholic habits. And now they're together. So I think that's a very, very good news, you know, for us. And we want to kind of hear, you know, these kinds of stories over and over because this is what really brings joy to our hearts.
Tell us a little bit about the religious landscape of Mongolia. I gather that's quite complex. You mentioned Buddhism earlier. What? How would you describe that?
I would actually say that 65 to about 70% of the population of Mongolia are actually atheists. Buddhism being the traditional religion, of course, but Buddhism itself is also a sort of an atheistic religion. So it has components of shamanism, spiritism. A lot of it is basically based on superstitious belief. Superstitious meaning that they really are scared or fearful of something that might happen, right, in a metaphysical environment. But most of the people being atheist, the concept of God is really kind of an alien, you know. It's very, very interesting, you know, thing. But if you actually go back to the history of Mongolia, as early as 13th century, when Mongolian Empire was actually, you know, taken on its course, there were some Nestorians who were actually trying to reach out to this part of Asia, right?
Nestorian Christians.
Nestorian Christians, and that actually ended up resulting some of the queens and the princesses have actually become Christians, you know, Nestorian Christians, basically followed the faith. And so we have a very, very long history of Christianity has been kind of embedded in the course of the history of Mongolia. But then, of course, Buddhism came in the 15th century with the influence of China, of Manchu. The Tibetans had actually come in and they brought Buddhism. But prior to that, of course, the native religion was a shamanistic religion, of course. So those are the mixture, you know, of the faith.
I heard the other day that Genghis Khan's daughter-in-law and mother to Kublai Khan was Sorghatani Beki?
Yeah, Sorghatani Beki, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Of the 13th century.
That's right.
What can you tell us about her?
Well, there's the historical record that there were members of the royal family were actually were influenced by these Nestorian Christians, and there were actually even a couple of Mongolian tribes who actually, who are actually Christians. I mean, they use all the Christian symbols and they actually followed all the traditions. So apparently there were a lot of influence from the Christians. I mean, Genghis Khan himself basically welcomed all religions and he actually considered all religions to be equal and he respected them. So I think that was basically the early reflection of democracy, basically, you know, saying that all faiths are respected, to be respected. And historianism basically faded out with Buddhism, you know, with coming of the Buddhism in the 15th century. So that's basically, there was a shift between the two.
So can you give us an insight today? If 65% of Mongolians are atheist, then what do they make of you, you know, a Christian? Is there a sense of tension or is there like a strange confusion? Is there an indifference? What's it like?
Well, of course, you know, people, you know, seem to kind of think that Christianity is a strange, you know, thought system. But I think the biggest thing that actually bothers them for non-believing, you know, people is that they think it's a foreign ideology. Just as communism failed them, just as communism tricked them, people don't want to be tricked again. So that's why they're very, very careful, and I respect them for that. You know, so that's basically, you know, whatever foreign, because, you know, you can imagine a person being in an identity crisis, and he is trying to be a Mongolian, right? what is Mongolian? A Christianity Mongolian thing? No, it's not. I mean, for him, it's a foreign thing. So that's basically what creates a lot of the tensions. But it's just misunderstanding. There's no, I mean, other than that, there's no other tensions as, you know, as of persecution or anything like that, because we are considered to be a democratic country. The democracy allows, our constitution allows, the diversity of faith. And so that's kind of the situation that we're facing there.
Well, finally, Bart, as you think about the situation in Mongolia and especially your work in radio, mm-hmm. what would you say Christianity has to offer the people of Mongolia?
Well, I think a lot, because, especially for the young people, coming out of that, the first exposure to the Christianity, I have learned that there's a lot the young people can learn. They can have a direction, they can have a meaning in their lives. And I think, Christianity really can teach a person, I believe, from being an I-orientated person to a we-orientated person, and eventually a him-orientated person, in other words, God-orientated person. So I think that's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And I really believe that the more the churches there are, the more people become Christians, I think they will love their motherland more. They would want to do more for the country, for the people. And also they want to steer away from the current problems that we're facing with unethical stuff going on, immoral things like corruption, very, very high corruption rate, disbelief in the government officials, etc. So, I mean, we really believe that. I mean, we pray as Christians, for the government. We pray for our leaders, no matter, what kind of people they are, but we just still pray for them because we really believe that God's going to turn around the country around.
From the Centre for Public Christianity, you've been listening to Life and Faith with Simon Smart and Justine Toe. We've been speaking with Bart Tuvshentsengel from Mongolia about some fascinating aspects of his country's history and religious landscape.
To hear more inspiring stories like Bart's, we've got plenty on our website, publicchristianity.org. Or you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just type Life and Faith in the search box to find us. And please leave a rating or review for us while you're there. It helps people discover our show.
Next week, we speak with the head of the British and Foreign Bible Society about why the Bible is more than just a religious book for religious people. Join us then.